that something was going on with some of the disciples. I told you we had different messages throughout the 3 days we were there at camp, and I'm going in order. I've shared the first two in the past 2 weeks of what we talked about at camp. The first one was team means we, not me. And then there was one about respect. Everybody deserves respect last week. So today we're talking about mistakes. I want to begin with a prayer. Lord, as we come right now, I just ask that we would be real. All too often when we come, especially when we come to a place like a church building, we have to sometimes seems like pretend. We're putting on masks. We're acting like everything's okay sometimes when it's not, God. Lord, we mess up. We mess up even when we're trying to do the right thing. We mess up even when we've made commitments not to. And Lord, some of us just messed up and never really figured out how to make it right. God, you use the broken. You use the brokenhearted. You use those who are struggling. You've done it over and over in your scriptures, Lord. Today, for those of us who are struggling with our mistakes, those of us who know that life is supposed to be different than it is, and we're not sure what it means to pick up the pieces, we're not sure how to get beyond the mistakes that we may have made, God, speak to us today. Help us to take off those masks. Help us to be real with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there were two disciples mentioned here in the scripture, both of whom made mistakes. Who can tell me who these two disciples were? Who were they? One was Judas. Who was the other? Peter. So we've got Judas and Peter that we're reading about today. And We're going to look more at them and what each one of them did. I prayed about it some. I know we've talked about it, but I want to see a raise of hands just because some of you may not need to stay any longer. Who here has never made a mistake in their life? Just raise your hand. All right. Who here hasn't made a mistake this week? This past week. Okay. Well, then maybe you're all where you're supposed to be, because that includes me too. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We've all messed up. And you know what? Even as we become Christians, we're still human in the midst of our Christianity and our relationship. So we will never be perfect on this side of heaven. So that's a part of this that we need to struggle and work through as well. But I want to quickly go through, what are some typical ways that people deal with mistakes? I want to divide this into two categories. I think there's one way we deal with mistakes that Satan loves to be a part of. And then there's a way we're supposed to deal with mistakes based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to look first at the ones that take us in a direction opposite of Christ. Some of the typical ways that people deal with mistakes, first of all, is we might ignore our mistakes. We might say, you know, it just doesn't really matter, and ignore it. And what happens when we ignore our mistakes? We typically continue to make some of those same mistakes over and over again. So then there's a second way we handle them. Often, we allow those mistakes to make us feel unworthy. We had a sports camp. More than once, somebody missed a ball at sports camp this week. In fact, I think everybody probably missed the ball at least once. And it's possible that if they had not had the encouraging coaches they did that were around them, missing that ball one, two, or three times may have gotten them so down that they would have felt like they weren't worthy to be at that sports camp. But that didn't happen. That wasn't what it was supposed to be. And you know what? There's other times in life, not just in sports, that we've done something wrong, and we've done something that we just spend so much time thinking about that and harping on that we as an individual feel like we're not worthy. We're not worthy of people's friendship. We're not worthy even sometimes of God and of His love and care. And God's not placing that on us. We're placing it on ourselves, and it's what Satan wants us to do. So first, we might ignore our mistakes. Two, we might allow them to make us feel unworthy. Three, we might blame other people for our mistakes. There was a time I was playing softball with a bunch of people, and there was this guy, and everybody knew it. He never made a mistake, according to him. And I actually hit the ball, and at this time I was about Chase's age. I wasn't very old, and I hit the ball, and I made it to first base. And he went to catch the ball, and it hit his glove, and he dropped it. And he said, I would have caught that ball, but the sun was in my eyes. Now, I was Chase's age, but I didn't say it out loud. I went up to my dad, and I said, Dad, he said the sun was in his eyes, but wasn't the sun behind him? And my dad just smiled and said, yes, son. And we kept playing the game. But then there's other times it's not just about that. It's how often have you heard somebody corrected or there's a mistake somebody's done, but then somebody else say, but she did that first. He did that first. And you immediately go to it, not on me. I did it because of that. Instead of taking responsibility for our own actions. And then there's some people that just, once they make a mistake, they get angry. Let me tell you a situation that happened this week of someone that got angry. Again, it was on the baseball field. It was at a tournament that I was a part of. Somebody, really good player, missed the ball. And they're not used to missing the ball because they're one of the best players on the team. They missed the ball twice. After they missed it the second time, they literally bent down, took their glove, and started beating the ground out of anger. Who do you think that benefited? Well, the person was angry. You think it helped them doing that? Was that going to help them catch the ball better next time? No, it's getting in their heads. Was it going to help their team to see them doing that? No, it just made the team get down. If anybody, the only people it might have helped that were there was the other team. The same thing is true with us. When we make mistakes and all we do is get angry and we function and we act only out of our anger, the only person that's really benefiting is Satan, because God doesn't want us to live there. Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong to get angry. I get angry at times too, but Scripture says you shall not sin in your anger. So what that means is while there may be anger there, and that anger can help turn you in a direction it needs to go, you don't act out of your anger. I could understand that person getting frustrated that they missed the ball. And that's okay. He was a good player. And so he takes that and you want him to learn from it. But you don't take your glove and beat the ground over and over. There's nothing good that comes from that. And we do the same things a lot of times out of anger because we've made a mistake. That's what Satan wants us to do. Then the last one is people can just, once they've made mistakes, decide they're going to give up. The heck with it. I ain't even trying anymore. Let me tell you about this person. There's a basketball player. This basketball player has lost over 300 games. He has missed over 9,000 shots. And at least 26 times, the ball was given to him to shoot what would have been the game-winning shot, and he missed it over 26 times. One player messed up that many times. Would that cause you want to give up? You see, there's a different way of looking at it. There's a better way to handle mistakes. I'm wondering if some of the campers can tell me, how do we turn mistakes into a good thing? Some of you there, what do we talk about this week? How do we take mistakes and make them a good thing? Anybody remember? Chase. Say it louder. Learn from them. Exactly. You know this basketball player I was telling you about that made this many mistakes? I'm pretty sure he learned from his mistakes, because you know who this basketball player is? Michael Jordan. That's right, Noah. Michael Jordan messed up that many times. He lost 300 games, missed over 9,000 shots, and missed a shot that would have won the game 26 times. Now, when he did that, do you think he kept missing the shots the exact same way again and again? Or do you think he went in the gym and he practiced and he practiced and he practiced to try to make sure that he was doing the right thing? It's the same way with us. When we mess up in life, we learn from that. Just like Chase said, that's what God wants us to do. So I want to look at these two disciples. How did Judas deal with his mistake? Think about that for a second. Judas thought himself unworthy. He tried to make it right himself. He was been given money because he went, and he was actually just trying to help Jesus. So some theologians say that he wanted Jesus to be this kingly ruler, and he figured if he could get people to arrest him and do this, it would make Jesus have to stand up for himself. And when he realized that that really wasn't the plan, he went back, and the money that he had been given, he took it, and he just tried to give it back when they wouldn't take it. He just threw it back, and he had tried to fix it himself, and he couldn't fix it himself, and he just went out into a field, and he took his own life. So he felt a sense of self-worth, and he just gave up in a way that was horrible. And that's what can happen when we allow mistakes to overtake us in that way. But then Peter also made a mistake. Peter made the mistake of doing what in the scripture? What did he do? He cut the servant's ear off, and Jesus hadn't wanted him to do that. So after that, Peter learned, but he didn't learn too quickly because he made another mistake. What happened when some people came to Peter and asked if he knew who Jesus was? He said, no, I don't know him. In fact, he said he didn't know him three times, and he even cursed and said he didn't know who Jesus was. So Peter made a few mistakes, but in making those mistakes, he turned around and learned from them. He kept following Jesus, and Jesus helped him to be able to go down the right path. In fact, I'm not going to read the scripture right now. It comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, if you want to go and look at it. But Jesus came back and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, you know I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. And he did that three times. Why do you think he did it three times? Because Peter had denied him three times. And so he helped to reinstate Peter, and Peter became one that helped the kingdom grow in a powerful and magnificent way, and he went about sharing who Christ was, even after he made those mistakes, and God desires to do the same with us. Now, this might be a bit presumptuous, but I'm going to suggest that every person in this room will make a mistake this week, even though you're here at church today. Every person here will say something, think something, do something, or not do something that will be displeasing to God. So I want us to decide now how we will handle the mistakes that are coming our way. Who wants to handle the mistakes Satan's way? Who wants to handle the mistakes by ignoring them or feeling a sense of unworthiness or by blaming someone else or getting angry or giving up? Who's planning to do that this week when you make a mistake? Who wants to handle their mistakes God's way? Who wants to learn from your mistakes and grow like our campers talked about this week? Because you know, you wouldn't need this green on here if you never made a mistake. But as you make the mistakes and you learn, you grow and become more and more the person God wants you to be. Think about some of the things in your life that are difficult for you. Are there people that make you mad? Habits that you know are displeasing to God? Things you know God wants you to do, but for some reason you're not doing it? How can you learn from past mistakes? Do you know even now you can prepare yourself for dealing with mistakes that you're going to face in the future? And there's two quick verses I want to share. The first comes from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. It says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. That means, it's saying in Scripture, even though we're Christians, even though we've made that decision to follow Christ, we're still going to slip up. But because of who Christ is, we can get up and we can go again. And then Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So what I want to close with is I want you to consider what your week is going to be like, where you're going to hang out the most. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up, but as they do, I just have one last thing. If you look at this ball, there's black here, and that black represents the sin, and there was sin in our life before Jesus died on the cross. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And there are things in your life that you may want to deal with, ways you may want to change, and you don't have the ability to change that by yourself. But God can help you. And so that's a place that I invite you to today if that's where you are. But there's also a sense, even if you are a believer, Satan is real, and there's darkness in this world all around us. A lot of times, us church folks sometimes will pretend that it's not and that we're just always in the light. There's darkness that we encounter every single day. And it doesn't help to pretend it's not there. But we can choose to live in the light. But a lot of that's based on how we deal with the mistakes, the situations that we have every single day. We've got to make that decision now. It's a whole lot easier to make that decision now, how you're going to deal with your mistakes this week, than it is to get into the midst of the mistake and try to decide how you're going to handle it. So I ask you, how are you going to live this week? I hope you'll choose the light over the darkness and not even creep into the shadows just thinking it's okay, but allow God's light to shine in your life so you can fully be the person you want. Our campers this week, they were just having fun playing sports, but I tell you, they learned some real scriptural fundamental basics of how God wants us to live life. And they need, for examples, to continue. For us as parents, if you had campers there, for us as people in the church, when they get to where they're making these mistakes and they've heard these things, they need to know it was more than just something they spent 3 days at a camp listening to. They need examples of people who are living it this way. So we need to be that example, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. God is speaking to each one of us today because He talks to us every day. What does God say? What does God want from you? Will you respond? I'm here to pray with you. The altar's open. Our church doors are open if you're looking for a church home. But most importantly, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never prayed a prayer asking Him to come into your life, acknowledging that you've made mistakes, acknowledging that His Son died on the cross and that blood was shed to pay the price, and He rose again after 3 days, and that washes and makes our sins as far as the east is from the west and enables us to be an entirely new person. If you've never done that, today is a day you should. I'm here. The altar's open. Respond as God would lead. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing hymn number 542, In Loving Kindness, Jesus' Name.